Cape Talk. Call Pippa now on 021-446-0567.
That is the number to dial if you've got a home improvement question, because Mr. DIY himself is standing by to tackle those queries. Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants and Paint Project Management. A general DIY show today. You can call in on absolutely any topic on 021-446-0567 or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Hello, Angelo. I'm sorry it's back to the phone line again instead of in studio, but nevertheless, we're very happy to have you with us on the show.
Hi, Pippa. At least I got to see you last month.
At least we squeezed in one visit. Okay. Angelo, we are suddenly just a few weeks away from the holiday season, which I know for a lot of people is the DIY season. Everybody catches up on their snag list over the holidays. Everyone's feeling so tired this year. I hope they're not going to be all kinds of DIY mistakes and injuries along the way. Any words of advice for those who are planning to tackle jobs in the home?
So, but I think vitally important is health and safety when you're working with angle grinders or soldering irons or items that can cause immense bodily damage. You know, a friend of mine cut himself with an angle grinder the other day and had to get stitches in his leg and couldn't move for like 3 or 4 days. So, you need to be very careful. You need to make sure you've got the right equipment, right safety equipment. Make sure that you've got, if you're working with a skill saw or a table saw, that you take caution and you prepare yourself before you start cutting. So just have everything in place so that you don't do anything that can create any harm to your body, and of course that you have the right tools in place, because if you start messing around with tools that are not as fit for a specific purpose, then you could have problems.
Okay, so the right tools for the job, proper preparation beforehand, and somebody to hold the bottom of the ladder, please. I'll add to that particular list. Okay. All right, Angelo, the questions are already coming in, so let's get straight to the first one that has come through as a voice note.
Hi, I would just like to find out what I could do with the smell of damp in my room. In my bedroom, I don't know where it's coming from, but the whole room always smells damp. It's an old house with wooden floors, and for some reason I can't see any damp in the walls or damp in the cupboards, but the room always smells damp.
Where would we be without damp-related questions, Angelo? Any suggestions?
Okay, so first of all, the first clue was it's an old house.
Yeah.
Okay, so generally the old houses have thick walls, and they generally aren't cavity walls, which means that there's no movement of air in the wall. So if a brick gets wet, it can stay wet for a very long time, and that wet can result in mold and can result in a smell of dampness. The second thing is, we don't know if the house is built on a angle or on a slope. That, of course, adds to the natural flow of water, and that can create problems as well. Water coming up into the walls and affecting the walls in the same way as I've just explained.
Okay.
The other thing that could be a big problem here is that there is damp underneath the woodwork. Now, a telltale sign would be if you're walking on the wood and certain of the sections of wood, especially near the edges, are sort of fall underfoot. In other words, when you put pressure on them, they just sink. That could be a sign that your woodwork is rotting and that there's a lot of damp underneath there. So all these type of factors do play a part. And, of course, the room may be in an area that doesn't get sunlight, which means it might never, ever dry out properly. It could have high humidity levels, which could affect the smell as well.
Okay, so what's to be done about it, Angelo? So you've explained the possible causes. Is there anything that can be done? I mean, you can't exactly go through and retrofit the walls. Any strategies for coping with it?
So there are, for example, if you have windows, open windows, that generally does help get a flow of air. That's always the first port of call. Open windows, get some ventilation. Secondly, if you do have those old buildings may have had old air vents. I don't know if you remember air vents, they were built into the wall and they allowed air to move out and through. That, if you can install that, that will work. Those things work very well. And then if none of those are sort of available, If you go to the hardware store, they have a product that you can buy, that you can buy five or six of them, and you can put them in the room, and they absorb moisture or humidity from the air, and that might help you with the removal of that dampness in the air.
Okay, what do you ask for? A moisture absorber? What are the products sold under?
I think it's like a portable humidifier almost.
Dehumidifier.
Forget the name. Dehumidifier. Yeah. There you go. And it's actually like salt. So if you put salt there, salt will absorb moisture will absorb the moisture from the air and then render the place drier, if you want to call it that. The problem, of course, is if you've got a continuous issue, then it's going to keep happening. You would have to try and get fresh air through there, which will probably be the easiest and the most long-term solution.
Okay, thank you very much. And I hope those strategies might work for the sender of that voice note. Good luck to you. You can send your voice notes to 0725671567. That's the number for a text WhatsApp as well. Sarah sending us one of those. Sarah's got a solid long piece of wood on the balcony as a handrail, and she's wanting to look after it. And her question is, how best do we treat it and then seal or varnish this solid piece to make sure it stays healthy?
Okay, so I'm assuming that it's outside, it's a hardwood, something like Moranti or Grappa or something like that. And generally those hardwoods are very resistant to the elements. But if you have a varnish on them, the difference between a varnish and a preservative is that a varnish forms a skin where a preservative will just disappear over time. If it's got a skin, then obviously you have to sand it. Yeah. And remove the flaking skin, and then you can prep it down. All the raw areas should get a thin down coat of varnish, and then two full coats of the varnish. And if it's a preservative that's on there, then you can just apply, once you've given it a clean, you can apply two or three coats of a preservative. The main difference, a preservative needs to be done every 12 months. One coat per 12 months, whereas a varnish could probably last you 2 years.
Okay. Two different strategies there. So every 2 years for the varnish, which sounds like a bit more work, but only has to be done less frequently, or the easy alternative to the preservative, which has to be done more regularly. Okay, thank you very much. Sarah, good luck with whichever option you choose. We've got a voice note from somebody who is converting a roof, I think, and has a question for you. Let's take a listen to that.
Hey, Papa. I'm converting an attic into a room, but it gets extremely hot upstairs because the roof sheets are corrugated roof sheets. So I'd just like to know, how does one control the temperature? I think any discussion around this would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you for the voice note. Any suggestions, Angelo?
Okay, so I'm assuming there's no water vapor barrier or a silver lining that they put underneath. Sorry, a silver lining that they put underneath the roof sheet. This is generally a water vapor barrier, but it also helps with the transfer of heat from the roof sheet into the room. There is actually legislation about it, and they should be there. The alternative options are to put in a skylight window, which can open up and again move air through the unit, or to put in a twirly-whirly, which will then draw up all the hot air and make it cooler.
A twirly-whirly. Do you mean a ceiling fan, or is there something else I'm missing? I don't know.
No, a twirly-whirly I call it a twirly-whirly. Generally, a lot of guys know what we're referred to in the industry. It's basically, it looks like a little mushroom that sits on top of your roof, and it's round on the top, and it's got slats. And what happens is it turns, and as it turns, it sucks the hot air out of the room, and then obviously cooler air can come in. Now, the problem here is that metal ones can tend to make a noise if not installed properly, but now I see there are plastic ones out, which don't make a noise, which is great, because sometimes the noise can be quite unbearable. But those are the two options I would look at, retrofitting either a skylight or a twirly-whirly.
Okay, I've learned the phrase today. I know exactly what you meant the minute you said a mushroom on the roof, Angela. Thank you very much. Okay, I think have time to squeeze in a quick call from Jill in Takai. Jill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Pippa. I have a very good Bosch freezer that unfortunately when I moved to Cape Town had to be put in the garage. There just wasn't sufficient room in the kitchen. It is showing signs of bad rust all over it, and I've tried all sorts of things to try and remove this, and I'm just wondering if your guest has any, you know, good suggestions for me to try. Because I'm a little desperate. It's a really good fridge and it's being ruined.
And if you've got an old big appliances like that, you want to hold on to, Jill, because the new ones don't last as long as the old ones do. Angelo, any suggestions?
Okay, so normally those fridges are coated with a type of powdered coating system, and rust creeps underneath there. So you know you start to deal with rust that you can see, but actually there's more rust, and then it just reappears. So unfortunately, to deal with rust, you have to remove the rust. Now, rust can be either surface rust or ingrained rust. If it's surface rust, you can deal with it, and you can sand off the rust and treat it and coat it. But if it is ingrained rust, then you've got more of a problem, and you would either have to, if you wanted to keep it, you'd have to take it to someone that could weld in a piece or fix it up in that case. It's not a DIY, wouldn't be a DIY project. But if it's surface rust, you can give it a good sand, remove as much of the paint as you can until you get clean metal. Once you've got clean metal, then you can start working on the rust and you can treat it with anti-rust coatings. And then Rust-Oleum have a product that you can buy, a spray product that you just shake up and you can spray the fridge. It comes, you can get white, you can get black, you can get the silver as well. And you can spray it and it should be as good as new, as long as it is surface rust.
Thank you. What is the name of that product? Or the make?
Rust-Oleum.
Rust-Oleum?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, Jill, I hope for your sake that it is just surface rust and that that particular solution is going to work for you. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your call. Jill in Takai. Boy, I think we can all relate to wanting to save a Bosch appliance that's been going for years, Angelo, because they are really worth their weight in gold if you can eke out the life a little bit longer. As always, thank you so much for the help you offer our listeners. Angelo, thanks for all your contributions this year, and we look forward to chatting to you again on the other side of the festive season. I hope it's a safe and happy one for you.
Can't wait, and happy holidays to everyone. Be safe, and see you in the new year.
Indeed we will. Angelo D'Ambrosio, hopefully in person by then. Angelo is speaking there. Of course, he is from IPMT Remedial Building Consultants and Paint Project Management.